elaborate responses on the questions that honourable members have posed and comments. Clearly, there's never enough time for the subject. But I want to first agree with you. And I think I will speak even on behalf of my colleagues from the NCOP that the sort of interaction in the form of a workshop on the philosophy and the evolution of taxation in South Africa is quite important. Because you see, we do it amendments from time to time, and we've got no base of what are we amending in relation to what. And I think in that, in such an interaction, it will also be important to talk about what are the drivers of these amendments. Obviously, in the main, it is going to be the ability of the state to meet its priorities and therefore the budget deficits. How do you actually minimize the impact on ordinary people, both in terms of service delivery and also in terms of the burden related to taxation? The other point that you have raised is that, and I think if I heard you properly, that taxation is nothing but a rough justice, because it's one size fits all. It's one size fits all. France doubts that. I can see. But in the last interaction that we had with you, I did say, sometimes I also sympathize with you. Because the more you try to close the loopholes, the more clever people also try to find alternatives. The question that was posed by Honorable Van Rooyen, I think it's on... No, I think it's Edwin. Avoidance versus ignorance. It's very, very critical that there are people who become defaulters in the system, not because they want to evade tax, but it's simply out of ignorance. That's more around the question of education. The last point before I make a proposal on how I think we should proceed is just to remind honourable members about the processes that we have followed up to this far. You know, each time we meet, it's like we're hearing this thing for the first time. Starting with the fiscal framework proposals, these sorts of amendments were indicative in the speech at the time. In the budget speech itself, then proposals were quite clear. And out of that, a draft bill was then presented to us on the 1st of, I think it was the 1st of May. The 18th of May. We had an interaction with you where National Treasury came to brief us about the draft taxation bill, or before the bill itself. And we held public hearings 1st of June. What I think is important, honourable members, is what then transpired after the public hearings between National Treasury, SARS, and the stakeholders. Because some of the issues which we could not resolve in our meeting, we then said there should be further deliberations and interaction, as it is always a normal practice. and National Treasury should come back with a comprehensive and composite report on how they intend to address such concerns. Now, such a report is there. It was actually presented to all of us. And I think it's important to go back to that report, because it deals with a number of sections in the bill itself, and what is it that is acceptable, what is it that is half acceptable, and what is it totally rejected, and what are the reasons for such positions that the National Treasury and SARS would have taken. Now, out of that, then the bill was introduced last week on the 24th of August in the House, and today we are basically considering the two pieces of legislation before us. The debate in terms of the parliamentary program, as you know, that we've got a very short space of time also, is scheduled for the 9th of September, which is next week. Now, before we deal with what then do we do with this presentation and the consideration thereof, we have circulated a correspondence from one of the members of the committee, Honorable Ambrosini, who's out of the country, but more often than not, he does miss vital meetings of this committee. And in his view, is that the committee should give itself more time as a committee to deal with the proposed amendments or to deal with the bill as it stands. I would venture into probably saying, as much as we would want to consider that, this matter is not a new subject to us at all, given the stages that this bill has gone through. I would want to appeal to honorable members that today we deal with the two bills, we consider them and adopt the reports so that we could assist the process of going back into the House next week for debate. That's a proposal. I would want to check with honorable members on this particular matter. Honorable George.
Thank you, Chairperson. I agree with you that this is not new. We've been working on it for a very long time, and I do think that we have had enough time to consider the contents. There is one point, however, that is made in the letter regarding that our power to amend the money bills. We don't have the Parliamentary Budget Office. Now, I know that we have discussed that matter, and I don't think that it has impacted on our ability to understand whatever is going on. However, I did make a proposal previously regarding zero rating VAT on books, and we agreed that Parliamentary Office, Budget Office, at some point would be looking at it. And I'm waiting great anticipation for that to happen. So we don't have that office, and I think the one thing that we should be doing is we really do need to be pressing that issue, because the budget's coming up next year, and the stuff is complex, and we do need it to do certain things. That's my view on this. However, on the letter we did receive, I don't think that it's actually factually correct. We have worked for long on this, and I also think that certain statements made about us having an image or potentially having the image of being rubber stampers and clueless about what we do, frankly, is an insult to this committee, and it is totally untrue. Thank you, Chair.
Dr. Luyange.
Chair, in fully concurring with Honorable George around this matter, I think, Chair, we need to maybe consider the attitude that has been adopted by the Honorable Ambrosi in writing this letter, if you can refer to its contents. So, if one of the honorable members of this committee can actually write a statement to say we seem to be clueless, not knowing what we're doing. I mean, it's something that we cannot just let it go unchallenged. So that honorable member must come and explain himself in front of this committee. Thank you.
Any other input? Goranov?
Chairperson, just for the record that we also support the sentiments.
Thank you, honorable members. Khoshimashil.
Chair, I just wanted to check on the letter of Ambrosini on the last but one paragraph, where he's referring to the old practice of the Standing Committee on Finance passing bills in record time. I'm not sure, because I thought that he has just joined the National Parliament only late last year. And which old practice is he referring to? I think these are some of the things that maybe we need to get serious clarity, because he's not a retaining member of parliament. I think he's coming for the first time.
Honorable Chair.
Chairperson, thank you. The reply to Honorable Ambrosini is on the screen. The time frame since we started the process until today. And that can be the response to the Honorable Ambrosini. He will have to prioritize his committees.
I think what we are agreeing on, honorable members, is that the chair should actually respond to the letter in writing, expressing the views of these honorable members, but also then say he's invited to come and explain further to the committee what his problems are and to express his views before these honorable members. I think let's not take too much time on Honorable Ambrosini. He will come and respond to those issues, but we will take a lead from the chairing position to write to him, and such a letter will be circulated to honorable members as a response. Now, honorable members, I know I did say we are having two committees together here, but for the purposes of practicalities and the National Assembly process, the next step will only involve honorable members from the National Assembly in terms of the processing of these two pieces of legislation before us. I would therefore want to read and see if we all concur and adopt that as a report or as a position of the committee, so that we can proceed to the next stage in the House. I'll start with the Taxation Laws Amendment Bill and read the following. The Standing Committee on Finance, having considered and examined the Taxation Laws Amendment Bill, B28/2010, National Assembly Section 77, referred to it and classified by the joint tagging mechanisms as a money bill, report that it has agreed to the bill. Agreed? I will sign in front of all of you.
Chairperson? The same issue applies as before, as we raised with the DA. I think the wording needs to be the members of the committee.
Okay.
Because our caucus
yes.
needs to look at this, but I will be recommending to the
all
caucus
right.
that we approve it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. The second business of the day is around the Voluntary Disclosure Program and Taxation Law Second Amendment Bill. The Standing Committee of Finance, having considered and examined the Voluntary Disclosure Program and Taxation Law Second Amendment Bill, B29/2010, National Assembly Section 75, referred to it and classified by the joint tagging mechanism as a Section 75 bill reports the bill without amendments, take into consideration the position of the DA member in this committee. Do you agree? Agreed. The last point that I wanted to make sure that doesn't get lost. I think the matter that Honorable George has raised and continues to raise about school books in particular. Can we have some sort of attention to it as soon as possible? So that when we move into the next cycle, we know exactly where we stand. It can't be a matter that waits for the budget office. And we did say on a number of occasions that the budget office is important to enable committees to do their work, but the committees can't wait until the budget office is in place. And a simple demonstration of how we've been able to handle some of these laws and legislations is that despite the challenges in that regard, we are trying our level best to do our work, and I think we should continue to do so. Keith, it's a point that I thought should be taken into consideration by National Treasury and the SAS personnel who also raise it at different levels from our side.
I think it's noted. I think, look, we're aware of the issue quite well. This is going on. I mean, unfortunately, Cecil's not here. He's been dealing with this issue a fair amount. My question to you is, okay, we understand the issue, and there's you're actually raising a larger issue. When does the committee be able to make inputs early in the process so that they can see their way into the bill into the next year? My question to you is, what do you want the way forward? Do you want us to come back on this issue? Do you want us to write back on that? I mean, how do we, because this is the first time this kind of request has come through, so I'm trying to find out exactly what's the process that you're expecting so that we will respond. I mean, do you want us to, you know, have Cecil come back with you, talk to you directly, Chair, or, I mean, I'm not sure exactly, you know, to speak to the Minister. I'm just not exactly sure what you want us to do at this point.
I think it's a fair question. What perhaps we should do, because a matter that has been raised by Honorable George, let it be a subject of a committee deliberations, and the committee takes a view on this matter so that we can process it officially to National Treasury. Thank you. Agreed? The meeting stands adjourned. You are not dismissed. You are allowed to leave so that you can reconvene later on, probably tomorrow, taking another subject matter. But at least all, is everything done? Thank you very much, Honorable Members.
Yeah.
Okay.